Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Now let's sit at his feet for a minute here. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 to 12. I just want to start with two verses of Scripture. And I see Michelle left you a lot of room to make notes. That's good. And there's a lot of Scripture too, so it fills up a portion of the bulletin. But that's okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 to 12. That's where we're at this morning. And the Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Let's pray. Father God, we know that you are awesome in power and might and knowledge. We know, dear God, that you have given us the presence of your Spirit here today. Father, we pray that we don't grieve your Spirit today. We pray that the Spirit of the living God, Lord, would speak to our hearts and our minds and fall upon us in a fresh new way. Heavenly Father, I pray that everything that we do and everything that we say this morning would be to lift up the name of Jesus and to glorify the kingdom. Father, we pray that you would do something supernatural in our midst. Father, I pray that everything that we have expected and everything that we have prepared for would be exceeded, Lord God, by just your hand upon us. Father, we know that there is opposition and there are obstacles and there are things that stand in the way of us being who we ought to be. But, dear God, we pray that all of that would be irrelevant because we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us. Give us, Lord God, a supernatural understanding into your word today. Father, I pray that you would speak directly, not only corporately to the church, but directly to hearts, Father, in a very personal way, because you're a personal God. We love you, and we just understand, dear God, that this is your day. Father, have your will, have your way. We'll be sure to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just by way of review, if you haven't been here for the whole series so far, we've been looking at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is, as you know, has been called many times the Faith Hall of Fame. It is a listing of men and women who, through the power of God working in their lives, they learned exactly what it means when we live by faith and we walk by faith and we act by faith. The good news is, when we study this stuff, it's not just for an elite group of people. The author of the book of Hebrews is writing to New Testament Christians. And by the way, that's us. You and I are New Testament Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ, living in the dispensation of grace. What that simply means is, if you want to come to Christ and you want to be saved and you want to avoid judgment at the end of life as you face eternity, all you got to do is come to Jesus, confess Him, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's what it means to be someone who's living in that period between judgment and the cross. And we need to understand that this passage of Scripture is written for our learning. It's written to challenge us to step up and to climb a little bit higher when it comes to faith. And I'm praying very earnestly for the fact that as we spend this time together in this passage of Scripture, that we'll learn really what it means to truly live by faith and truly to live a life that trusts God. Now, many times it's been said, and you've probably heard it yourself, that too many Christians are settling for far less than they have been redeemed for. We're settling. We're settling for less than we have been redeemed for. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. And the thing that generates this settling is a lack of faith. And as we continue our study and we're introduced, as we approach this lesson today, we're introduced to the first woman who is listed in this passage of Scripture of people who live by faith, and her name is Sarah. Sarah is the wife of Abraham. God has made this couple a promise. It's interesting. He repeated this promise to them five times in the chapters between chapter 12 of the book of Genesis and chapter 21. Five times God said, hey, I'm going to do something supernatural in your life. I promise to do it. His promise to them was that they were going to have a baby, going to have a little boy, and that little boy would lead to the birth of a nation. He would be the father of a nation. But as so often is the case, God's promises work against the black backdrop of difficulty. Have you noticed that? You know, things in our lives that we understand that they're promises of God, we may read it in Scripture or whatever, and we understand that God is going to do a work in our life, and all of a sudden we see all these problems stacking up. But what you need to understand is God works best up against the black backdrop of difficulty. And that's what we see happening here. The difficulty was Sarah was barren, meaning she was unable to conceive and have a child. She'd never been able to conceive. She was never able to get pregnant. And God promises Sarah that she was going to have a baby. But Sarah had never, ever experienced what that was like. Not only that, even when she was young, not only that, the Bible says that she's old. She's 90 years old. I don't know too many women at the age of 90 trying to have a baby. I can't even imagine. So even if she did have the ability to conceive when she was a young woman, in the prime of her life, by now she's way past the age when it was possible biologically for her to have a baby. But God had made them a promise. But the black backdrop are the things that make the promise seem impossible. And when that happens, we begin to question the promise, don't we? Did I misunderstand? Did I mishear from God? Is God forgotten about me? Is God overlooking me? Now, there are things in our lives that are barren. We go through barren seasons of life. We go through times in our lives where things just aren't working for us. What you thought life would produce for you hasn't turned out or hasn't panned out the way that you thought it would. Jesus, again, has promised to give us life and that life abundant. But sometimes we find ourselves in these barren seasons. Life is not growing in you. Your passion is gone. Your purpose is unclear. Your future looks a little bleak. There may be another group of people who possibly are in this room this morning who have been waiting on God to come through for them for a long time. Waiting on God, praying, longing for the day, hoping, expecting, holding out faith. But now it feels like you've missed the opportunity because too much time has passed. You believe that God is something for you that's better, but now you feel like you're running out of time. Anybody know what that's like? Listen, folks, don't let the black backdrop of the way things look discourage the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because verse 11 says, by faith, Sarah had the ability to conceive. But what I'm trying to say is, even though the circumstances may not be working in your favor, or even working, you know, against or contradicting, they may even be contradicting the promise of God in your life, don't let that quench your faith. Because when we let the way things look or the way we feel override our faith in what God has said, we can make the mistake that Sarah made, and that is running back to the flesh. Running back to the flesh. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and following. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. How many of you already know this ain't going to work out? And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. Okay. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. This is hard to read, okay? This is awkward. I mean, even though it is, it was legal in that day. All right? You need to understand. But just because something's legal, folks, just because something's legal doesn't make it right. And so Abram dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar. She conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Could have never guessed that would happen. But the point is, there is a temptation to retreat to the flesh when you feel that God isn't going to come through for you or that it's taking too long. The flesh is a reference to a human approach to solve a problem. Okay, when we read about it in this context, you need to understand the flesh is a reference to an approach to solve a problem differently than the way God wills it to be solved. Sarah was going to help God out. She was going to circumvent God. So she went and encouraged her husband to have a baby with her maidservant. This is going to solve a problem. How many of you already knew it was just going to create more problems? I mean, even if you've never read this before, we know human nature. But Sarah turns to the natural to accomplish God's supernatural promise. Abram agrees. Hagar has a baby. And the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac have been fighting to this day. Ishmael, the son of Hagar, is the father of the Arab nations, and Isaac, of course, you know, is the father of the Jews, of the Hebrews. And everything that you see happening in the Middle East today is a result of this decision to run back to the flesh. It is the result of these two boys fighting. Now, I don't think Ishmael was a bad kid. In fact, he probably was a really good boy. But the problem didn't start until Isaac showed up. Can you make spiritual connection? I mean, you may not have had too much trouble with your flesh until you got born again in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? And now all of a sudden, you've got these two boys fighting, and one of them, hey, folks, one of them's got to go. One of them's got to go. Sarah tries to circumvent God, so she took matters into her own hands. And James says in the New Testament that this is double-mindedness. Also in the New Testament, the book of Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through a promise. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless," verse 30, "what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And of course, you know, we're talking about being born of a promise through Jesus Christ. Again, all these things are written for our learning, for our admonition, for our development as Christians. And Paul, as he writes to the New Testament, points to Isaac and points to Ishmael and says, don't operate in the flesh. The spirit and the flesh cannot operate together. One of them has to be cast out. And you and I are to live our lives according to the promise of God, not through the flesh approach. So, Sarah tries to expedite the process, and all she did was make a bigger mess. Anybody know what that's like? So, when you've been waiting on God and you can't see how anything good can come out of your current situation, don't go run into the flesh. Don't start leaning on your own understanding. Have faith in God. Trust Him. Sarah ran to the flesh for an answer. Now there was chaos in the home. But in that situation, God still speaks to Abraham and Sarah. It's impressive to me. In Genesis chapter 17, the Bible says, "Then God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her." Here's that promise again. "Then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of a nation. Kings of people shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Is this a joke, God? And he said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" This is funny, God. You're pulling a joke. You got jokes today. The fact that God is still speaking to this couple after they messed up so bad, that's good news to me. It's good news to you. It's good news to those of us who have messed it up ourselves. But even though they had ran to the flesh and were dealing with the consequences of running to the flesh, they still don't seem to have grown in their faith, because when God repeats the promise to Abraham, the Bible says he laughed. Now it gets worse. And it blows my mind that this is the guy who is the father of the faith, and yet he's making all these mistakes. verse 18, it gets worse. And Abraham said to God, now God had just repeated the promise. Sarah's going to have a child promise. He's just said this. I mean, he's repeated it several times by now. And right after the breath has come out of the mouth of God, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God is like, Abraham, I just told you that Sarah was going to have a baby. And now we see Abraham still running back to the flesh. That flesh has got a strong pull on it, doesn't it? You just keep running back. God said, this is not about Ishmael. This is about a promise that I made to you. But they ran to the flesh, and they want to keep running to the flesh because of the obstacles that they face, because they think it's funny. They think it's not possible. There's no way. I am 100 years old, and my wife is 90. God, this is some kind of joke. Sarah thought it was funny too. I mean, it wasn't just Abraham. There's two people that had a problem in this family. Sarah's laughing too. Look in Genesis chapter 19, verse 9. God sent a contingent, and they are visiting Abraham. And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which is behind them. Now Abram and Sarah were old. Now here again, we're getting reminded. How many times have we been told already that they're old? Abraham's 100 years and baby girl is 90 years old. How many times are we going to... I guess the Bible wants us to understand that our God can do anything. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah has passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. She's laughing now. This is jokes. This is funny. Saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord... being old also. Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I bear a child since I'm old? If you got your Bible laying in your lap and you got a pen or a highlighter, you may want to highlight the next sentence in this verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham and Sarah were laughing. They're both laughing. They're laughing in the face of the promise of Almighty God. They're laughing because of the obstacles. They're laughing in the face of the promises, in the face of the problems that make the promise look impossible. They're looking at this as if it's just one big joke. But we started this passage and this message this morning saying, reading in Hebrews chapter 11, that by faith, Sarah was given the strength to conceive. That's how we began this message. We haven't seen a lot of faith so far, have we? We've seen them run to the flesh. We've seen them both laughing. We've seen them both doubting that God could keep His promise. But we haven't seen any faith yet. Something must have happened. Between the time that we see all this laughing and all these things taking place to the time when she actually was given a son, something must have took place. Something must have happened between the maneuvering and the running to the flesh and Abraham laughing and Sarah laughing. What happened? That's the question. What was it that happened? What happened to take this couple from Hagar to Ishmael, from him laughing and her laughing to her receiving the strength to conceive? What happened? Well, I would guess that there would be several things that happened, but I picked out two that I want to mention. And I want you to consider them. Number one, the one thing that happened in the interim between this all happening and laughing and Hagar and Ishmael to Isaac. One of the things, one big event that happened was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham and Sarah saw the heavens open up and saw fire and brimstone fall from heaven and destroy two cities at one time. They saw the grace of God in saving Lot and his family out of that city, and they also saw the judgment of God fall in the form of fire and brimstone from the sky. The other thing that happened was Abraham lied to a fellow by the name of Abimelech. Abimelech was the king of Gerar, And he lied and he said, Sarah is my sister. Now, this whole thing is so weird. I mean, it's just strange to me. Abraham was afraid. He was weak. He was 100 years old. He wasn't the man that he used to be because of his age. And King Abimelech asked, hey, who is this woman? And Abraham was afraid that he was going to kill him if he said she was his wife. So he said, she is my sister. I told you it was weird. The Bible says that even at age 90, Sarah was a very beautiful woman. So Abimelech, thinking that Sarah is single, takes Sarah into his harem. That night, while King Abimelech is sleeping, he has a visitation from God in the form of a dream. And God says to Abimelech in that dream, he says, Abimelech, you are a dead man. And Abimelech's like, what's going on? He said, because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. He said, wait a minute, God. He didn't say nothing about no wife. He told me that I asked. I acted in integrity. I asked who this woman was. And he said it was his sister. And God said to Abimelech, he said, I know you've acted in integrity. And I know you haven't laid a hand on her. He said, but I want you to send her back to Abram. Get her out of this home. Get her out of this place. Now, it gets even deeper. And it gets more interesting. Abimelech says, yes, sir, right away. Now, what does all this have to do with their faith growing and Sarah getting strength to conceive and becoming pregnant? Well, let me give you the backstory. Let me give you a little bit more. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17 and 18 says, so Abraham prayed to God. Okay, this is after Sarah is out of Abimelech's palace. And God had done something. We're going to find out what it was. And Abraham interceded for this king. Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, his female servants. Then they bore children. What was Sarah's problem? She was barren. She couldn't bear children. Now listen to verse 18. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Do you see the spiritual connection here? You see how when you're studying the Word of God, how you got to make the spiritual connections? How you got to look for these kind of things? What was Sarah's problem? Sarah couldn't conceive. She couldn't bear a child. Sarah couldn't have a baby. She couldn't get pregnant. God closed the wombs of all the women in Abimelech's house until Sarah was out of there. At that point, Abraham interceded. And Abraham prayed for God, interceded, and all of a sudden it became clear that God had healed the household of Abimelech, and these women started having babies again. Now, that seems strange, and it's something that you could probably very easily read over. But again, Sarah's problem was she couldn't conceive. And God was teaching Abraham and Sarah through all of this, hey, I'm the one that controls who gets pregnant. I'm the one who makes those decisions. God said, I am the only giver of life. I am the one that controls that thing. And they are beginning to learn. They are beginning to understand that God is able to do far and above all that we ask or think. God revealed his power to Abraham and Sarah in both of these events to grow their faith, in an effort to encourage their faith. And because God keeps his word, Sarah bore a son of promise. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and following. The Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. God kept his word. God grew the faith of Abraham and Sarah. They came together. They had a son. God kept his word. And the Bible says they named their son Isaac. You know what the name Isaac means? It means laughter. You say, Pastor, that's a wonderful message, but that's Old Testament. No, it's not. It's Hebrews chapter 11. It's Hebrews chapter. But you know what else is New Testament? Well, let me ask you this. Do you know when things started to turn around for this couple? I'm going to lay a truth bomb on you this morning. This is New Testament, folks. The Bible says that things began to turn around for this couple when Sarah called Abraham Lord. You can go back and read the text that I read to you, and you're going to see in one context that Sarah was making reference to Lord, and it's in a small case. Every other reference to Father God is capital, uppercase L. She's talking about her husband. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, you might want to jot that down, we see this same thing referenced again. So, what we see happening is here Sarah is showing obedience and submission to the plan of God for the family. And when she did, she received the power to conceive. Now, this isn't popular preaching. I don't really care. I didn't write this stuff. Furthermore, I am not an editor. I don't go through and edit the Word of God. I've made one promise to God, and that is I would preach His Word. I wouldn't water it down. I wouldn't sugarcoat it. I wouldn't do anything like that because I know where my strength comes from. Amen. Things started to turn around for Sarah when she showed obedience and submission to the plan of God. This is God's plan. It's not my plan. It wasn't Abraham's plan. It wasn't anybody else's plan. But God has a structure that He intends to take place in the family, and we are to follow. And the Bible also says, you are daughters of Sarah when you do likewise. Now, why was Sarah calling Abraham Lord? Why was that the catalyst for her to receive the promise? Well, do you remember how Ishmael was born? You remember how that all took place? The chaos with Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael all happened when Sarah took charge and became the Lord of the house. Is that not true? Can we just back up a little further? Can we back the bus up a little further? Just like Eve became Lord of the house in the Garden of Eden and reversed the order that God had established in the family. Now, that doesn't mean the men get off the hook, because both these guys gladly went along with it. When Sarah recognized the divine order of the home, God released a divine miracle into her life. You say, that's wonderful, Pastor, but we ain't trying to get pregnant. We ain't trying to have no babies. I'm not interested in that. That is not the point. You're missing the point of this entire message. The point here is that sometimes we find ourselves thinking that we're waiting on God to answer a prayer and send His power into our lives, but in reality, He's waiting for us to stop operating in the flesh and start stepping in line with the plan of God. You see, folks, here's the thing. Obedience and faith always go hand in hand. And once you get that right, you realize that nothing is too hard for God. Now, I don't know exactly what God is doing in our hearts today with this message. I do know the concept of faith, and I do know that, as we said earlier, a lot of Christians are settling for far less than what God has for them. I think it's because of a lack of faith, and I think it's also because of disobedience. We got a lot of things working against us, but I do know that God has made it clear to us that He wants us to walk in faith. And I don't know what you're having trouble trusting God for today. I don't know the issue. I do know that He makes no mistakes. I do know that God's not surprised by anything. I do know that in heaven there is no surprises, only plans. And I do know that you have been brought here today by the Spirit of the living God to hear this message on faith. And I don't know what you're struggling with or what you're trying to trust God for. But what I would encourage you, I'm going to give us this admonition, okay? Why don't we take all of these things that we are being asked to trust God for, lay them out before God, and say, God, here it is. Help me with my faith. Help me with my unbelief. Help me know which of these are Your promises, and help me to know which of them need to go. And Father, in the end, I'll give You the glory. Let's stand. We're gonna pray. I'd like to pray over this time of decision. I'd also like to pray over you. And then when we are done, we're going to have this time of decision. And if you've got a decision to make, this altar is open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Once again, we bow our heads, our hearts, our wills before you. And once again, God, we acknowledge that your word is sure and strong. Father, today we've studied this passage of Scripture that is so relevant to our lives. Not because we're 100 years old or 90 years old or because, you know, maybe we're praying for a baby. I don't know. But most of it, God, is directed to us to help us to learn patience. Help us to learn to trust you. Help us to learn to move the obstacles of disobedience, no matter how small they may be, out of the way so that your Spirit may flow, so that conduit may be open again. Heavenly Father, help us to take seriously the things that you've spoken over us, the things that you said are true. Heavenly Father, help us to believe. Help us to not think it's a joke. Oh God, you know. People are laughing today. They're laughing at your word. They're laughing at your people. They think it's so funny. Dear God, if they only knew how much you love them. Father, we all wrestle with our faith. And we all have a bit of trouble when we understand, dear God, what you're trying to do. And at the first sign of trouble, at the first obstacle, Father, we flee back to faith and flee back, run back to unbelief. So, Father, we ask that you help us with this. I don't know who needs a touch of your Spirit, a touch of your favor today, but, dear God, send it, Lord Jesus, and help them to respond as you speak to their hearts. Help us all to heed your word today and be the people you call us out to be. In Jesus' name, amen.